Let's continue as we start the shiur with our overview, our introduction to Kodshim. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, I finally got a hold of Mesifta for Zvachim. And I'd like to cover with you the following introduction. Very important background material. He says, we've discussed already the four categories of Karbonos, of Zvachim. And now he goes on to the question of Dinei HaBailim, which he divides up into many different subsections. The first is what's called Das Bailim. And what that means is it critical that the owner of the karbon is aware of the karbon, that the karbon is being brought on his behalf, and he gives approval? It's interesting, in Daf Yomi we were discussing an Erevin about whether or not an Erev Chatzeres has to be set up, Midas Bailim, an Erev Tchumim Midas Bailim. Here we have a question of a karbon Midas Bailim. Now obviously we're not talking about a karbon Nedava. Karbon Nedava requires the das, you know, the motivation of a person to voluntarily take upon himself a neder or a nedava. But we're talking about a carbon chova. And if I want to bring a carbon chova on behalf of someone, then that person has to have das. It goes even beyond that. What if the person brings his own carbon, but he's not capable of das, and that's the case of cheresh or shota or a katan? So the halacha is that none of the above can bring a karbon. Now here we have a difference between chatos and asham on the one hand, and ola and shlomim on the other. In the case, well, let me ask the following question, so we'll sharpen it. Can the das bailim be supplied post-karbon? Or it has to be up front, from the moment of hafrasha, when you set aside the animal for a karbon, there has to be das bailim. In the cases of chatos v'asham, we need das bailim at the time of the karbon. It means that, number one, there's the critical moment which is called hafrasha, and then there's, number two, the critical moment which is called hakrovas hakarbon. In the cases of chatos v'yosham, we have a double requirement of das bailim, both at the time and the moment of hafrasha, and at the time of hakrova. However, with regard to ola and shlomim, we only need das bailim at the time of hafrasha. Once the Bailim have set aside this karbon chova of either ola shlomim, now we can go ahead, take it over, and bring the karbon. The kohen will do the avoda, and it's a karbon kosher. But again, all this presumes that the Bailim is roi ledas. He's a bar das, as opposed to the case of a cherishot v'kot. Now, let's mention, in this context, a topic in Kodshim that requires its own discussion. It's a separate discussion. And that's called Mechusar Kapara. There are four cases of Mechusar Kapara. That's Zav, Zava, Yoledes, and Mitzora. And these cases, the requirement of the Karbon is inherent in the Tahara process to purify these Tmeim. And the Tahara is not complete until the carbon is brought. And that's called Mechusar Kapara. Here, the Rambam has a unique halacha of Einam Tzrichim Das Bailim. So imagine, a man has a daughter, and she has the status of a Zava. He can bring the carbon as a father on behalf of his daughter, even though she's a Ketana. And the same will apply if his son is stricken with a tumah of mitzora. So let's keep in mind that with regard to this requirement of das bailim, the whole situation flukes up when we deal with Mechusar Kapara. Now, within our broader discussion today of Bailim and the Dinim of Bailim, let's add another element into the equation, another subtopic, and that is tshuva. The purpose of every karbon is to bring a kapara. However, there's no kapara without tshuva. So, for example, you have a chatos and an oshan. Both of these are critical in order to bring about a kapara for a certain sin that a person violated. That chatas, or that asham, is ineffective to generate a kapara without the tshuva of the bailim. And the Rambam codifies this in his opening introductory halach and hilchas tshuva. Now, what about the case of an ola? Ola is also a carbon that generates kapara, not for the violation of a lo taseh, but rather for the non-compliance with a mitzvah saseh. And once again, we're going to require tshuva. If the ola is meant to generate a kapara for a mitzvah saseh, it's conditional on the fact that the bailim of the carbon engages in tshuva. What happens if the bailim bring a carbon? The carbon is kosher, but he does not do tshuva. The achronim deal with this question, and they say that it depends. Why didn't he do tshuva? If he didn't do tshuva because tshuva was too difficult for him, he didn't have that commitment, that level of serious attitude and so forth, then without tshuva he will not achieve kapara for his avera, but the carbon itself is still kosher. But if he doesn't believe in the power of the carbon and its ability to generate kapara, that's called mevayit. Mevayit means like he rejects the karbon. Ketzal. Hevi chatoso o ashomo. He brings a chatos or an oshom. Vehu omer. And he declares, or he's choshev belibo, ein elu mechaprim lo. They do not have the power to generate kapara. Is afal pi she hikrivu es hakarbon kimitzvason lo niskaper lehem. And listen to this. Kishayachzor b'tshuva, tzorech lahavi chatoso v'ashamo. The carbon itself is kosher. It will be eaten by the kohen, and all the dinim of me'ila will apply, and so forth and so on. It's an effective carbon, but it doesn't generate kapara because he was mevayit. He rejected the idea that this carbon has the power to bring him kapara. He's going to have to bring another carbon to replace the first carbon in order to achieve kapara. And the same applies to an ola vis-a-vis mitzvah saseh. Now, there's an insight here of Reb Chaim Brisker that if a person is magdish a carbon, in order that his friend should achieve kapara through this karbon, then hareza miskaper hamiskaper ochel sabosar. This is fascinating. Who should eat the basar? After all, the basar is eaten by the baal hakarbon. Who's the baal hakarbon in this case? Reuven set aside a karbon, and he did so on behalf of the kapara of Shimon. And Reb Chaim says that the miskaper equals the bala karbon. He has rights to this karbon. He will eat the bus of the karbon or give it to the kohen of his choice, whatever it might be. Because if he's the miskaper, then he's the bala karbon. Who are the individuals who are excluded from bailus over karbon? We said that cheresh shot v'karbon are excluded because you need das for kapora, But there are other categories of individuals who are excluded from a karma by the very nature or status of that person. A mumar. A mumar, for example, someone who's machal Shabbos b'far hesya, whose status is that of a mumar for kol atar kula, he cannot bring a karma. We won't accept his karma. A meshumad, a person who accepted upon himself, never converted to Christianity or another religion, we will not accept his karma. Now, what about a person who worships an idol? He was Ovid Avodah Zarah, b'mezid, deliberately, only on one occasion. Or, for that matter, he violated the Shabbos publicly, deliberately, on one occasion. He has the status of a mumar. All we need in the cases of Shabbos and Avodah Zarah is one single violation. That's enough to generate a shame mumar, to exclude him from a karma. We will not accept his karma. Again, there's a whole process of tshuva by which he reinstates himself, but at this point, he has the status of a mumar until he removes that status. Now, what about a meshumad l'shara averos? Then, if he's not guilty of neither avodah zarah or Shabbos b'far hesya, he violates other averos, mekavlim mimenu karbonos. We will accept his karma. However, if he has a certain avera which he is dedicated to violating and consistently violates that avera, urgal bekach, is then ein mekavlim mimenu, we won't accept his karma chatos. He now becomes a mumar. However, he's only a mumar vis-a-vis that one single avera that he consistently violates. And if he wants to bring a karma chatos on that particular avera, he's a mumar and he's excluded from that chatos on that avera. But if he violates a different avera, and he did so b'shogeg, it was just a fluke and he was not deliberate about it, then despite the fact that he is a mumar for a different avera, he's not a mumar for this avera. If he violates this avera, and he did so b'shogeg, he will bring a karma chatos, will accept his karma. What's the status of a non-Jew? Hanochri, yachol lindar ulinidvo uvinidov karbonos, meaning what we call a neder or an adava applies even to a nochri. However, some Amoraim in the Gemara are of the opinion that this only applies to a karban ola. The only karban that a guy could volunteer to bring in the Beis HaMikdash is a karban ola. That's the opinion of one school of thought in Menachos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. However, Shlomim, according to this opinion, cannot be brought by a Nochri. If a Nochri voluntarily accepts upon himself and brings a Karban Shlomim, we won't accept. And we actually paskin like that Man D'Yomar, and that's the Raman Hilchos Ma'aseh Karbanos. We will not accept any carbon from a nochri as a neder and a dova, less it's a carbon ola. Next, what's the status, Rachmana Litzlan, of an ovel? He is now sitting shiva for one of his seven close relatives. Can he send a carbon? He himself can't get to the Beis HaMikdash, he's an ovel, but he appoints a shliach to bring a carbon in his behalf. We will not accept a carbon. However, what happens if he has a karban chova to volunteer for a karban? That's clear. We will not accept his voluntary nedava for the period of 7 days of his avilus. But if he wants to send a shliach to bring a karban chova for him, so that's a machlokas achronim and probably even a machlokas rishonim, whether he can send a karban chova through a shliach. Now, the Torah says in Dvarim Perek Tezayin, Ufanisa v'boker v'alachta liyo alecha, and the Chachamim derive from this pasuk in a Gemara Psachim that we'll get to later on, that a person to bring a korban needs lina. Lina means that he must remain overnight in Yerushalayim. And again, we'll get into the details of Mirsa Hashem later on in Psachim, B'li Neder. And therefore, if there was no lina, then it would seem that, from the sugya itself at least, we will not accept his korban. He's got to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. The pella is that the Rambam completely omits this sugya. We don't know why. Now, what's the status of the Bailim who bring the korban on a particular day? Let's call it Sunday. That day for the Bailim is a yontif, which means two things. Number one, he's enjoined from halacha on that day. And number two, he's aser behesped ubetainis. He is not allowed to fast on that day. And this gigantic machlokas rishonim, whether or not that's a doraisa halacha or perhaps a drabbana, perhaps it's not even a drabbana, it's only a minog, but there's halacha of yontif on the day that you bring the korban. Now this more or less rounds off our discussion about Dine Bailim. And if we have another few minutes with your rishus, I'd like to move on to another topic of overviewing kodshim, and that's what's called hasurim lemizbech. What kind of animals cannot be brought on a mizbech? Number one, kelayim. Kelayim means that you take a sheep and a goat and you breed them together. The product of that breeding is called kelayim behema and cannot be brought on the mizbech. Number two, we have something called nidmeh. I'll give you the literal translation, appearance. What does it mean? Because of its appearance, we cannot bring it on the Mizbeach. Eiz sheyolda kemin keves, or Rachel sheyolda kemin eiz. It's a very, again, you'd have to ask the biologists about the reality of such a thing, but the case here is where a goat gives birth to a sheep, or at least it looks like a sheep. Or a sheep gives birth, a female sheep is a Rachel, gives birth to a goat. So that's a special psul. It's almost like a mum. It's like a deficiency. Then we have something called a yotzei dofen, which means an animal that was born not through the normal birth canal, but was removed in a surgical operation. And such an animal is excluded from the mizbeach. Then we have something called a yosom, which literally means an orphan. How can you have an animal that's an orphan? The case is that the mother was shechted, and then the baby was born. The animal was born after its mother was shechted. It doesn't have an animal. It doesn't have a mother, I meant to say. Now, some of the mefarshim say that the status of a yosom as a psul mizbeach is irrelevant to this new breakthrough category called the yosom. Forget about yosom. The animal is psul mizbeach for a different reason, and that's called yotzei dofen. Even though, again, it may have been pulled out through the birth canal, but that's not considered a birth canal. That's not a normal birth. It's a yotzei dofen. It's a cesarean operation, by definition. Then we get to what's called a roveh v'nirveh. And these are animals that were subject to some sort of bestiality, and it's a dvar erva, and it's excluded from the mizbeach. And the next category is called harag esa adam, an animal that attacked a human being, and as a result, the victim was killed. Then we have something called muktzah. What's muktzah? Muktzah is an animal that was designated by its owner for the purpose of avodah zarah. and the priests of the Avodah Zorah did some sort of action implementing Avodah Zorah with this animal. That animal is posel a korban because it has the status of an Avodah Zorah. Now, this psul of muktzeh, which means it's designated for Avodah Zorah, eino chal ela kodem hegdish. Shabailam hiktu es a behema kodem shekedisha ala korban. So before the actual hakdasha, when the owner of the animal dedicated the animal for a korban, it was designated as avodah zarah. And now, by virtue of the fact that it was designated as such, it could no longer be subject to hakdasha. It can't be magdish the animal. He has a long footnote here, so I'm going to leave this out because I want to get back to our sugya in Psochim. He has Nevad. Nevad is an animal that was worshipped as if it were a deity. That psul applies whether it was before the Hakdosh or even after the Hakdosh. Then we have Esnan u'mechir kelev, which is based on a posuk in Parshas Ki Teitzei Lo Sovi Esnan Zonu Mechir Kelev Beis Hashem. So an esnan is an animal that was accepted by a harlot for payment for her services. A mechir kelev is an animal that was swapped for a kelev. In other words, I'll do a swap with you. And then we have something called a trefa, an animal that was born with one of the 18 various categories of trefos. It has an internal puncture or something that destroys one of its internal vital organs. That animal cannot be brought as a korban. And last but not least, we have what's called gozel, an animal that was stolen, and after the thief stole the animal, he does tshuva, so he thinks he can clear his reputation, he's magdish the animal, the korban is posel. And that's based on a posel, believe it or not, in Divrei Kabbalah, in Yeshaya, Novi says, Ki ani Hashem, Ohev Mishpat, Sonei Gozel Biavla. And the Gemara learns Biola as if it's a psul in all korbanos, not just Ola. And normally a person could acquire ownership on a stolen animal after what's called Yeish Bailim, but here the Rabbanan said that the korban is excluded even after the Bailim of Misyash. It still has the vestige of the shame gossip. So that is going to be our introduction to Kodshim for today. And B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll continue with our overview of Kodshim. Now we get back to Tamid Nishchat. And we're discussing Rava's explanation for the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rava, let's just review, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that if there's an overlap between the 14th of Nisan and Shabbos, then Kisidura shall hold the Alma. The Tamid is shechted at Shmonu Mechtza. Rabbi Akiva says, Kisiduro b'erev Pesach. Hachal b'yemos hachol. Now, if erev Pesach is on a weekday, then the Mishnah at the beginning of Tamid Nishchat that we saw establishes that the time of the Shechita is Sheva u'mechtza. And now Rabbi Akiva equates Shabbos with Chol, meaning the 14th of Nisan, whether it's a weekday codified in the Mishnah as Sheva Mechtza, or it's Shabbos, the Tamid will be brought at Sheva Mechtza. The Gemara asks, but Maika Miflegi, what is the Yisod of the Machlokas according to Rava's interpretation? Why does Rabbi Yishmael say what he says, Shmona Mechtza? And Rabbi Akiva says what he says, Sheva Umecht. So the Gemara says, and this you'll find on the last line of Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, B'michmar Bisra Kamiflugi. The machlokes depends upon whether or not we have a chashash, we're afraid that if we start the process of Korban Pesach too early on Erev Pesach, the basar might spoil before he gets to eat it on the night of Pesach. Rabbi Shmuel savar chayshina l'michmar bisra. Rabbi Akiva savar lo chayshina l'michmar bisra. Rabbi Shmuel wants to postpone the entire process of the Pesachim as much as he can, because if you start with the Pesachim too early, then we have to be afraid that the actual meat will spoil. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel advocates that we bring the Korban Pesach at the latest possible time, which would be after the Korban Tamid on a weekday, which would be at Shavu Mechza. So therefore, on Yudal B'Nisan, whether or not it's Chol or it's Shabbos, we're going to bring the Korban Tamid at the eighth and a half hour, at a later hour. Now, again, if it was a weekday, then we understand very well why you're bringing the Tomid at 8:30, because that's exactly when you bring the Tomid, the Korban Tomid on any weekday. And even though you might argue, well, what happens if it's Shabbos on Erev Pesach? If it's a weekday, I have a volume of Nedarim Nedavis, and therefore I want to postpone the Tomid. But in the case of Shabbos on the 14th of Nisan, on the contrary, I should be makdim the Tomid because I have no issue of Nedarim Nedavis. So the answer to that question is that Rabbi Shmuel is going to equate Chol and Shabbos in the case of Erev Pesach. Because if on Erev Pesach you're going to be makdim the Tamid, then he's going to get confused, right? Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, I mean, he's going to get confused next Erev Pesach when it's on a weekday, and he's going to think, you know what? Let's do what we did last year, and we'll bring the Korban Tamid at an earlier hour. Therefore, we're stuck, so to speak, we're boxed into 8.5 hours so that we don't make any distinctions, any mistakes between Shabbos and Chol. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Now, you might ask the following question. Rabbi Akiva says that you should be bringing the Tomid on Shabbos of Yudal B'Nisan at 7.5 and be makdim in. And we do have a precedent for that in the case of the Korban Tomid on Shabbos. So why not use Sheva Umecht? And the answer is because by adding or being makdim that 1 hour, Rabbi Shmuel says, you are increasing the statistical fear of Michmar Bisra. And yesterday we discussed the Kasha of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor says, okay, you worry about Michmar Bisra, that's a problem of the Pesach, that is not a problem of the Korban Tamid. So why can't we bring the Korban Tamid at an earlier time, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and postpone the Korban Pesach at a later time? And we gave a whole bunch of answers, the most profound of which was the Pnei Yoshua, and that's what we discussed yesterday. Now, Rabbi Akiva says that we're not choshesh for Michmar Bisra. So one of the questions that we have to raise here and address is why Rabbi Shmuel is so nervous about Michmar Bisra and Rabbi Akiva is laid back about it. That's one issue. Another issue that we're going to have to discuss is the Gemara on the next Amud, Nun Ches Amud Beis, that attacks Rabbi Akiva, according to Rava, and says, Ilo Chayshinan, if we're not worried about Michvar Bisra, is Ni'avde B'sheshu Mechtza. Why doesn't Rabbi Kiva go as far as he can and start the process of the Tamid as early as possible, which is Sheshu Mechtza? There's no issue of Nedarim Nedavos, it's Shabbos. And there's no issue of Michvar Bisra according to Rabbi Akiva. Why does the hatchet fall on Sheva Chetzi, so to speak? And that's the Gemara's Kasha on Daf Nun Chesam and Beis. But let's go back for a moment to Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Shmuel is worried about Michvar Bisra. He wants to delay the Tumid and therefore the Pesach to 8.5 hours. Now, we discussed, we did not discuss the question of why Rabbi Shmuel is worried about Michmar Bisra and Rabbi Akiva is not. So let me share with you two things, not in chronological order. I want to share with you a Tzlach, a Noda Bihuda, and then a Me'iri. The Tzlach is bothered by the following. If you take a look at Rashi, three lines up before the end of the Amud on Ches Amud Aleph, Rashi says in the middle of that line, "Da Hoil V'Eino Yochel Itzloso Ad Shetechshach." Rashi says that the reason why Rabbi Shmuel is very concerned about Michmar Bisra is because the meat of the Karban Pesach will not be roasted until the nightfall, ad shetechshach. And if you have uncooked meat that's laying around without great refrigeration, then there's a great chance that it'll spoil. However, take a look at Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Chayshino, it's one of those small Tosfosin, and Tosfos is completely oblivious to Rashi. Instead, he writes, "Hoil the Ein Hadochas Krovov Doche Shabbos." He quotes a Mishnah later on in Pesachim Adaf Samachay. The Mishnah says that Hadocha is not Doche Shabbos. Hadocha is a subcategory of Melechus Borer, and it is part of the preparation of the meat. But it's, so to speak, a lead-in to Tzlias Abbas. So we said that Tzlias Abbas is Tzorech Hejot, and it doesn't override the Shabbos, nor does Hadochas Abbas override the Shabbos. So now the Yehuda was wondering why Tosfos completely, what words can I use, completely oblivious to Rashi. Rashi says that the Tzliya will not be implemented until the next night, till Motzi Shabbos, the 15th of Nisan. Tosfos ignores Rashi and instead suggests that the problem is that we won't be able to do Hadocha of the Basar because this is the 14th on Shabbos and Hadocha is not Docha Shabbos. So the Yehuda says that Gam Bishar Erev Pesach Shechalios Bimos Achol Lo Hayut Solim Mibodyom Ela Balayla. Rashi seems to indicate that the reason why Rabbi Shmuel delays the Korban Pesach, and in order to do so delays the Shechita Satomid, is because of Michmar Bisra, says Rashi, because they're not going to do the Tzliya. And the Nodviyuda says, if Erev Pesach was on a weekday, when would they do the Tzliya? Says the Rabbi Yehuda, they would do it at night, the following night. I mean, why is Rabbi Shmuel addressing the case of Shabbos on Erev Pesach? And he's worried about Michmar Bisra, says Rashi, because the Tzliya cannot take place on Shabbos, and it'll be postponed till Motzi Shabbos, when the Tzliya is always done in the next night. Meaning all that period of time that we're worried about of Michmar Bisra applies even on a weekday. We've always been saying that if Erev Pesach is on a weekday, we're going to Shecht the Tarbin on the same day that we would if it wasn't Erev Pesach, if it was any other day of the year, namely at Shmona V'chetzi, and that is because of the massive volume of Nedarim and Nedavos. We never considered the factor of Michmar Bisra to factor into the equation as to why on a day of Chol we should postpone the Korban Tamid. It was always an issue of Nedarim Nedavos. We weren't worried about Michmar Bisra. Nobody raised a voice about Michmar Bisra on Chol. And Rashi says, well, we only raise this Michmar Bisra business on Shabbos because there's no possibility of Tzliya, as if to say that if it would have been a weekday, we would have done the Tzliya Ke'ilu immediately or within a short period of time after the Akravas HaKarban, after the Shechitas HaBosa. But that's not true. Even on a weekday, the Tzliya was done. I mean, when I say weekday, I mean when the 14th of Nisan is on a weekday. The Tzliya was implemented at the Seder table, so to speak, meaning on the 15th at night. The same amount of time is now elapsing between the Shechita of the Pesach and the Tzliya. And yet we weren't factoring in this variable of Michmar Bisra if the 14th of Nisan was on a weekday. We only postponed the Korban Pesach and the Tamid before, only because of the factor of the Nedarim Nedavos. What about Michmar Bisra? That itself, that alone, according to Rabbi Shmuel, should have been enough to postpone the Korban Tamid, because the Rashi says the issue of Michmar Bisra is the Tzliya, and the Tzliya took place, as a matter of course, on the 15th of Nisan, not on the 14th of Nisan. He says, Gam Bishar Erev Pesach Shechalios Bimeach Choloi Yitzolim Mibojo. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Let's say Erev Pesach, Shechalios Be'erev Shabbos. Let's say the 14th of Nisan is on a Friday. Hikdibu esman shchitas atomid l'sheshu mechza. Right? And that we know from our Mishnah. Right? Erev Pesach and Erev Shabbos, then we bring the Korban Tamid at Sheshu Mechza. And the reason for that is because we want to set up the Tzliya during the day. Meaning that because it's a Friday, that's why we have to do the Tzliya on this day. In contrast to other days of the week where the Tzliya would be postponed till the night. And therefore he says that Tosfos wants to introduce a different element to the equation to justify Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel postpone the Tamid in the case of Shabbos on Erev Pesach? And the answer is because of Adochas HaKirbayim, that they weren't allowed on Shabbos to properly rinse off the innards of the animal, the Kirbayim, on Shabbos, because because Hadochas HaKirbayim, the Mishnah says later on in Samachay, is not Docha Shabbos. So now you have a situation, says Tosfos, where the Basar, because of Shabbos, is going to be laying around without Hadocha. Rashi is saying it's laying around without Sliya. Tosfos cannot operate with Rashi because Tosfos thinks that on every day, the Tzliya, every Yudalad Benisa, the Tzliya was postponed until the next night, and we never heard a word. Nobody whispered about Michmar Bisra. So what makes this Michmar Bisra a unique Shabbos problem? And the answer is because Michmar Bisra is a result not of postponing the Tzliya, but of postponing that Dochas HaBasa. That is, the Basa in its natural state is full of all sorts of, we'll call it impurities or whatever, and that's going to cause spoilage. The way that we can guarantee that the animal doesn't spoil, that the basar is only through Adocha, but unfortunately we don't have the option of Adocha, because Adocha doesn't override the Shabbos. The Meiri says that there's another sugya that should be introduced here as background to our sugya, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and that sugya is at the end of Masechta Shabbos, on Daf Kufta Zayin Amid Beis. And that has to do with what's called Hafshei Ta'or. In other words, we have a case of the 14th of Nisan on Shabbos, and the question is, are we allowed to skin the animal, to remove the skin, the hides of the animal? The Chachamim say, Mutar lahafshit eskulo. You're allowed to do Hafshata in the normal way on the entire animal, even though it's Shabbos, because it's for the it's a necessary part of the Hakrovas Korban Pesach, which overrides the Shabbos. And Rabbi Shmuel, not our Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Shmuel Beno Shel Rabbi Yochim Ben Broka, there in Masechta Shabbos, says that you're not allowed to be mafshit more than Adachaza. That's the only part of the animal you're allowed to strip its hides. Adachaza. Oh, says the Meiri, Rabbi Shmuel, in our sugya, about the time for the Talmud on Shabbos on Erev Pesach, holds like Rabbi Shmuel, Beno Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, in the Gemara and Shabbos, which means that they were only mafshit the or keneged achoze, hachoze. They only did a partial hafshot asa'or. In which case, the rest of the basar of the Korban Pesach remained inside the body of the animal. You couldn't remove it because it was surrounded by the hides, by the outer skin, and we weren't able and weren't allowed to do afshata on the or. However, Rabbi Akiva sover kechachamim, and therefore you're allowed to do a complete hafshata sa'or. As we said before, it's part and parcel of the Korban Pesach, which is Docha Shabbos. Once you do the Hafshat of the entire Or, we don't have to worry about Michmar Bisra. Now the Be'iri wants to address another question. Why is it that Abaye didn't accept Rava? The Gemara says explicitly why Rava rejected Abaye, and what was his question and objection to Abaye. Let's just go over that again. He had a textual issue in Abaye, because Rabbi Akiva should have said something about Kisiduro be'erev Pesach Shchalios be'erev Shabbos. Which means that according to Abaye, Rabbi Akiva goes back to Sheshu Mechza. If it's Sheshu Mechza, according to Abaye, then he shouldn't have mentioned Shabbos, he should have mentioned Erev Pesach. I'm sorry, he should have mentioned Erev Shabbos, Shechalios be'Erev Pesach. But why does Abaye reject Rava? So the Meiri comes up with a very sharp insight. He says later on Daf Pei, on Daf Samach Daled Amid Beis, the Gemara records Machlokas Shein Abaye V'Rav. And what is the Machlokas Shein Abaye V'Rav? Oh, I stand corrected. I'm sorry, it's not the Meiri. I'm reading to you the Tzlach. The Machlokas there is about a Mishnah in Avos, of all places. The Mishnah, the fifth parak of Avos, enumerates 10 daily miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of them was, Shelo Esriach Basar HaKodshim, that the meat of the Kodshim never spoiled. That was a tremendous miracle. It was supernatural. So the Tzlach wants to say that Rava's problem is, oh no, so let's get back to Abaye. Abaye doesn't want to introduce Michmar Bisra into this equation, because there's no Michmar Bisra in the Beis HaMikdash. That's guaranteed by the Mishnah and others, that there was an ongoing miracle in the Beis HaMikdash and there was nothing spoiling. So why does Rava say B'chol Zot that we have to worry, according to Rabbi Shmuel, about Michmar Bisra? And the answer is because Rava operates with a principle called Ein Somchin Al Anes, that the halacha should not be determined, says the Tzlach, by a miracle. Even though I know that this miracle is promised and is guaranteed, I've been relying on that miracle all through the centuries. But the halacha doesn't operate with a miracle. And therefore, if al pi derech hateva, according to natural law, we have to worry about michmar bisra, according to Rashi, because there's no tzliyah on Shabbos, according to Tosis, because there's no Adochas HaKirbayim on Shabbos, whatever it is, if there's a serious chashash, according to Rabbi Shmuel of Michmar Bisra, then ain't somchin al anes. Even if Michmar Bisra is not going to happen. Very sharp insight of the Noda B'Yehuda. Now the question is, why isn't Rabbi Akiva worried about Michmar Bisra? So we suggested that, according to Miri at least, Rabbi Akiva holds like the Chachamim as far as Hefshed or HaKarbon on a Shabbos, Erev Pesach on a Shabbos, that Mutal LaHafshed is Kulo. So if Mutal LaHafshed is Kulo, therefore, Rabbi Akiva, holding like that sheet of the Chacham, he's not worried about Michmar Bisra, because once they take out the R, the animal and the innards of the organs of the animal now get plenty of airspace, and they're not cramped inside the animal underneath the R, and we don't have to worry about spoilage in that short period of time. Now, looking on Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis, so Gemara asks Akasha, according to Rava's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, Eloch Hashinin, we're not afraid of Michmar Bisra, is then Ni Avde B'Sheshu Mechza. We should be makriv the Korban Tumah as early as Sheshu Mechza because there's no issue of Nidarim Nidavis. And therefore we want to be makdim as early as possible, then we should be makdim to Sheshu Mechza. Rabbi Shmuel cannot tolerate being makdim because he's worried about Michmar Bisra, but according to Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't blink about Michmar Bisra, it's not on his radar screen at all, then we should be makdim the Tamid to as early as Sheshu Mechza. Which means an hour later, Sheshu Mechza will bring the Korban Pesach. And again, it's Shabbos, so there's no Nedarim Nedavos. So the Gemara answers, Kasavar Musafim Kodim Lebazichim, and therefore Avilel Musafim B'Sheish B'Zichim B'Sheva V'Avilel L'Tamid B'Sheva Mechz. Rabbi Akiva holds that you have to bring the Musaf first on Shabbos, and then the Avodas HaBazichim. And only after the Avodas HaMazich can we start with the Korban Tumah. Hence, we have no possibility of starting at Sheish, we should start at Sheva or Sheva Mechza. Now we have a footnote quoting the Chemdas Tzvi. I have to make a note to myself. I want to look up in my basic Tzfarim to see who he was. Anyway, the Chemdas Tzvi, he doesn't mention his name, asks a kasha on the kasha. Why should the Gemara raise the objection and say, let's go back to Sheshu Mechza? We don't go back to Sheshu Mechza. We have a gzera on Shabbos, any Shabbos during the year. Forget about Yudalid ben Nisan. Whenever Shabbos you want to talk about, Shabbos Parshas Chayisar. Okay, so the Shabbos is, we're going to shech the Tamid at a later hour because of Yemos HaChol. We're not going to change the time for the Tamid on Shabbos and confuse the public about when the hour should be. So the Gemara wants to set up a Shechitas HaTamid at 6.5 hours. That doesn't make any sense. What about all the Shabbos, so the entire year, not the Shabbos of Erev Pesach? The answer is that we want to equate the time for Shechitas HaTamid on Shabbos with that of Chol. And just like on Chol, we shech the Tamid as late as possible, meaning 8.5 hours, because of the burden and the volume of Nedarim and Nedavos, we're going to apply the same principle and the same Zman on Shabbos itself, even though there's no Nedarim and Nedavos. So if that be the case, what is the Gemara asking, that according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no Michmar Bisra, and therefore we should shech the Talmud as early as Sheshu Mechza? Ribbono Shel Olam, we should equate this Shabbos with all Shabbos of the whole year round. In which case, we should bring the Karbon at Sheva Umechza. That's the Kasha of the Chemdas Tzvi. In the base Tzvarim, he says that the Chemdas Tzvi is none other than Reb Tzvi Hirsch Lifshitz. And it's a book of Chidushim on Shas, with special drushes. And it was published in Vilna approximately 150 years ago. And let me read to you the language of his kash, as it's quoted here in the footnote. He says, when the Gemara says, well, let's be makdim the Talmud according to Rabbi Akiva as early as 6.5, Ein lomar shegozra al erev Pesach, Shechal b'Shabbos mishum erev Pesach shechal b'chol, and on erev Pesach shechal b'chol, we don't bring the carbon as early as Sheshu Mechza. We bring it at, in fact, Shevo Mechza, and that's Rabbi Akiva here. He says lefisha erev Pesach eini yochel lochel el biyomim sheni revi shishi v'Shabbos. So only 4 days of the week that Pesach could fall on. That's based on a principle called Lo Bedu Pesach. Maybe we'll talk about that at a different occasion. And Me'acher Ve'ein Zerov, he says the following. He says, amongst these four candidate dates for Erev Pesach, if it was Yom Shishi, then the Zman HaKrava is Sheish Umechza. And that would certainly substantiate the Gemara's Kasha. And if you're going to tell me, well, now it's Shabbos, so we've covered 2 out of the 4 of the days, but there are 2 other possibilities that Erev Pesach might be on a Monday or a Wednesday. He says, Ein Ligzar al Erev Pesach Shechal b'Shabbos, Mishum Erev Pesach Shechal b'Sheni u'Berevi, Me'acher She'ein Zer Rov Hashon. Notice you only set up a Gzera when you get to the point of Rov. And it's impossible to say that Sheni and Revi are Rov as far as the years of Pesach, of Erev Pesach, because we have 2 other candidate days, so you have an equilibrium 50-50. The Tzlach, on the other hand, offers a different answer, and he says that according to Rava, Rabbi Akiva was addressing all the Shabbos of the Shana,
and the Tamid is Nishchat on Sheva Umechtza on any Shabbos during the year. So we don't have a Gzera of Shabbos Mishum Chol. That Gzera, which is the underlying question of the Chemdes Tzvi, Shegoz B'chol Shabbos HaShonah Mishum Yimos HaChol, that's not true according to Rava. And that cannot be accepted. Okay then? So tomorrow, Blinetta will start with Maskifla Rabba Bar Ula.